Don't want to hear from God. The soil of bitterness is a heart that harbors hostility and does not deal with hurt by the grace of God. When someone becomes bitter, the bitterness takes root in the heart and grows deeper. The world is full of people who have not dealt with an old hurt. They look for things to criticize, people to find fault with, and ways to justify the way they feel. Have you ever seen people who are hypocritical? Generally, they are bitter people. They know how to push your hot buttons until you react in a way to further justify their bitterness. Then they say, aha, I was right. I have a right to be bitter. So when the scripture says looking diligently, that means you got to take a close look at what's in you. If you have a hurt on the inside, where someone has hurt you, or you perceive that they've hurt you, mistreated you, abused you, or some kind of way, you've been hurt by something somebody did to you, or you've been hurt by something somebody said to you, you have to deal with it. Because if you don't, then you'll begin to push away from the things that God have for you. That hurt will take you right out of the plan of God. And you will harbor resentment and hostility in your heart for many, many years. That's why I say you can hide it for a long time, because it'll grow underground.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Is he worthy to be praised?
Yes, sir.
I said it's the Lord worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, because y'all don't understand. You don't understand that.
it could have been me.
Yeah. Outdoors with no food, y'all. Not even no clothes. All left alone without a friend, or just another number.
What a tragedy.
Or just another number. Yeah. With a tragic end.
Samson.
Mm. But he did see fit.
He didn't see fit.
Y'all didn't even hear what I just said.
Come on.
I said, he didn't see fit.
He didn't see fit.
Y'all still didn't get that part right by
then.
Because I'm looking at about almost 100 people up in here, and y'all couldn't even understand that. He didn't see fit.
Yeah.
those, none of those, none of those, none of those things be.
My, 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 my.
But God's grace and his mercy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I see a couple of people know about
God's
grace and his mercy.
That's right, that's right.
Well, I see a few more people joining in.
Come on.
God's grace and his mercy. Oh, I got a few more I need everybody about right now. God's grace and his mercy. Woo. They keep on.
Yeah.
They keep on. Keeping me. Greater King David.
What'd you say?
If I don't make it to third Sunday.
Come on now.
If I don't even make it to tomorrow. I wanna say thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for all of your tender mercies and new benefits daily. We have so much to be grateful for. Till we just time after time after time have to say thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, that still wouldn't be enough. You bless us with seen blessings and unseen blessings. You brought us through dangers, toils, and snares. But by the grace of God, we've already come. And we want to say thank you. God, you've been good to us. God, you've been good to us. God, you've been good to us. And we just want to say thank you. Now, Lord, look on your people at this hour. Look upon the preached word. Let your Holy Spirit do in the text and in the people's heart what you desire. Meet us where we are. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. For your glory, our good, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to St. John chapter 19, verse 26. And you will find these words. St. John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto her, or his mother, King James Version, woman, behold thy son. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, showing mother love to the end. Showing mother love, your love, to the end. When we look at this verse of scripture, certainly we are most familiar with it around resurrection, Good Friday events. But this word speaks so much more, so much louder, and is not limited to the Easter event alone. As a matter of fact, it gives us so many helpful holy hints as to how on this day we set aside and celebrate as Mother's Day, how to show our mother's love unto the end, whether it's our end or her end. There are some things that I think will be helpful to us, no matter who you are, how old you are, where you are in life. There are some powerful principles that I believe the text will reveal to us today. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother in the midst of the crowd that was around beneath the cross of Jesus, many of the people there were simply spectators. Many of them were actually haters. They were there pressing to see his fateful end. And yet, in the midst of hanging on that cross, in the midst of dying a horrible death, he looks and he sees his mother. Caring, compassionate, and more especially chosen. Well, you see, the man who saw his mother was divinely appointed to be both her son and her savior. And on that cross, as he looks down and sees his mother, the narrative is he sees his mother. What does he see when he sees his mother? I'm glad you asked. First thing I think you need to understand was when he saw her, he saw so many things, and so many things that rushed to the forefront of his human mind, things that he recognized about his mother. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you never realize again how weighty and how worthy someone is until you go through something and realize they don't have to be there where you are, but in spite of that, they're right by your side. See, one of the things Jesus realized was that Mary was chosen to be his mother. Now, not many of us understand that whoever your mother is, whether you know her or not, she was chosen to be your mother. And Jesus understood this from both a human perspective and a divine perspective. And so when he looks from the cross, he is intimately connected with the love of his mother and all that she shared and all that she showed and all that she was feeling and all that she was going through and how her heart was hurting and pressed and pricked. And yet he knew it was all because of him. And the first thing he does is he recognizes his mother. When he saw her, he recognized her. But he didn't just recognize her in one dimensional. He recognized her past tense. He recognized her present tense. And he recognized her future tense. Because as son and savior, he had the ability to do that. First of all, when he recognizes her, there are some things that he deals with as a son, leaving his mother, understanding her situation, understanding her hurt, understanding her pain, understanding her sacrifice, understanding that as she sees him in this place, though she knew it would come to an end like this, it was a whole different story seeing the end unfold. He saw her. What does he saw her mean? Not only did he recognize her, but he respected her. When he saw her, he respected all of the sacrifices she had made to be there by his side. After all, he had other brothers and sisters, and they weren't there. He had other family members, and they weren't there. He respected the fact that his mother's love was so strong that not even a crucifixion that classed him as an evil and ungodly man publicly displayed, hanging on the cross and being as one who was cursed, she did not leave his side because she knew her son.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And isn't it strange about a mother's love, how a mother can love like that? At this time, historians say Joseph was dead, and so therefore Joseph was not there, but Jesus had grown up, and before that time, he had become the head of the household. He was the oldest son, and Jesus recognized that there were some things connected with him being the oldest that he had to put in order, some things that he understood and respected about his mother and the sacrifices she made. So oftentimes, my brothers and my sisters, we don't recognize what our mothers have done for us. The sacrifices that our mothers have made for us. The things that our mothers have given to us at a great cost to her. The fact that she's been unselfish about so many things in her life to put us first. To go without so you can go with.
All right.
And it wasn't that you needed everything. It was just that you desired some things. But with her unselfish spirit, she put you ahead of her. And to not recognize that, to not respect that, says that you don't have the kind of love that Jesus had for his mother. This is an example for us. It is an example because, number one, your mother was not a mistake. I said your mother was not a mistake. She might not be the smartest woman in the world. She might not be the most educated in the world. She may not be the most sophisticated woman in the world. She may not be the most prettiest woman in the world. She may not be all of what the world calls beautiful and highly praised. But she's the best mother God saw fit for you. And no matter how high God raises us in life, from our lofty positions, we should always recognize mother. Respect mother. But there's something else I want to tell you he did when he saw his mother. The record is he took responsibility for his mother. Now, if I had not pointed out, let me make it clear again. Jesus was not Mary's only son. Jesus was not Mary's only child. Jesus had other brothers and sisters biologically, but Jesus took responsibility for his mother. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying if you've got siblings, you might be blessed and maybe you're the only child and so you don't have those issues. But if you've got siblings, listen at this, it's every sibling's responsibility to take care of mama.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Not just the oldest, not just the baby, not just the girl, or not just the oldest son, but it's every sibling's responsibility to take care of mama. Oh, how well would mama be taken care of if all of her children did the best they could do for her? Here's what's interesting. She did the best she could do for all of them. But how oftentimes do all of them not do the best they can do for her? How would mother's life be changed if every sibling took responsibility for treating mother right? Instead of saying, well, he has more than me. She got more than me. She married a big baller shot caller. Let her and her husband take care of him. How many times have siblings thrown off the responsibility of taking care of their mother to another sibling and did not take the responsibility themselves? You see, you ought to be mindful of a son or a daughter who does not hold mother in high esteem. Because the old folk used to say, the way you treat your mama won't be far from the way you treat your wife, and vice versa. See, you've got issues if you don't understand priority and place. Matter of fact, you're supposed to always honor. There is no cutoff date, no expiration date for honoring your father and your mother. That is a consistency through life to honor them. And that means being responsible for them. Oh, how oftentimes, we don't hear it this much anymore, but when I was a little boy, Shirley Caesar put a story out about that good brother and the bad brother. And y'all know the story. One brother, she worked her fingers to the bone, scrubbing floors to put him through medical school, make him a doctor. And she did everything that she could to help him fulfill his dreams. The other brother didn't turn out that well. He was less than desirable. He did what he wanted to do, got in trouble, stayed in trouble, was always the problem child. But life kept on going. Finally, the doctor graduated, became successful, got married, and lived a blessed life. And mama got old in age. And so he brought mama in to live with him, but his wife went to him one day and said, "Baby, your mother is speaking broken English. She's not a good example around the children. I think we ought to put her in a nursing home." Listen now. And so this henpecked, no, I mean this. I'm sorry. This son who made it, was successful, had money to do it, thought that he would dress it up and tell his mama that he was going to put her in a nursing home where she'd have 24-hour care, where things would be nice and she'd be pleasant in a community of folk her own age where she could enjoy life. He dressed it up and made it sound good. But her mama understood that he was embarrassed of her, that she didn't fit into his life, that she was not a good example for his children because she was not educated and she was not sophisticated. And so she understood that. And one day, the other brother, who was not an academician, an accomplished person, but he loved his mother. He had his issues, he had his faults, but he loved his mother. And he got in his old car one day and he went down to the nursing home and he told her, he said, "Mama, I don't have a fancy house. All I've got is a little old shack." He said, "I don't eat steaks and fine food. I eat beans out of a can." He said, "I ain't got no fine car, but this raggedy car I got, if you want to come and go home with me, come on, because you're my mama. And I love you." In essence, he said, "And I'll take responsibility for you. For you." And so maybe some of you can't shout, can't say amen right now because you're one of the siblings who've not taken responsibility and have placed that blame on others about not doing their part, but it's your part whether they do their part or not. And then the last thing I need to tell you about this text is that Jesus rewarded her. He took responsibility for her and he rewarded her. Why did he do that? He had other siblings. But because it was his responsible part to make sure that she was well taken care of. As a son, his life was ending. As a savior, his life was continuing. And so the record is, whom Jesus loved was standing by with his mother. No wonder Jesus calls her attention to her new son. It was because of the love that John had for Jesus that he stayed with Jesus' mother while Jesus went through the most agonizing time of his life. Not her other children, but John. And Jesus, listen, was not trying to replace himself, because he couldn't do that. But he was trying to reward his mother for being the wonderful mother that she was. And so Jesus says, woman, which is a term of endearment, which now he speaks as a savior, not as a son. As a son, he sees his mother and he recognizes her, respects her, and takes responsibility for her. But as a savior, he rewards her for what she's done. And he says, behold thy son. And Jesus enacts an adoption at the foot of the cross. He literally, listen, chooses another son for her. His father chose him, and he's chosen John to be the kind of son that will continue to recognize her, respect her, and take responsibility for her, and reward her all the days of her life. The next verse says that John, the other disciple, took her into his own house from that hour. In other words, from the moment Jesus pronounced that was his mother and the mother his son, he connected them in such a way that only death would separate them. And he rewarded her with the next best son on planet Earth. Well, now, how do you reward your mother? How do you show her that you reward her? Maybe some, your mother is gone now. You say, well, I can't do anything for her. Well, there are memories. There are teachings. There are examples. There are sacrifices that she's made. You can honor her memory. You can keep her spirit alive in you by being the best you can be. By showing that love to others. By demonstrating that the sacrifices she made for you were worthy of you impacting others.